At some point, every parent needs to hand over control of their children to God. Here's Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth.
Lord, I give this child to you. It's not that you no longer love. It's not that you no longer care. You certainly keep praying and loving and as God opens doors, speaking truth into their lives. But you're not doing it as an owner or as a controller or as one who can fix it. You're saying, Lord, this child is yours.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth, author of The Quiet Place, for December 15th, 2017. Mary and Joseph dedicated Jesus at the temple as a newborn. It's an incredible scene, as Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth has been showing us in a series called My Eyes Have Seen Your Salvation. A group of women have been listening along, and they're going to share something they've learned about dedicating their children to the Lord.
I don't know if any of you have ever had a child who struggled all their lives. Out of my four children, I've had one that from the get-go, she has really struggled with depression, even to the point of wanting to harm herself. With children like that, it's more difficult, I think, in a way, to release, because just something within the mother wants to feel like, well, I can do it. One more book, one more message, one more prayer, one more talk. And that's not the answer. And I had to come to the point 8 years ago of deciding I'm not releasing my child just out there. I'm releasing my child into the arms of the Lord. And do I believe that God is so perfect and so loving and will do the best for me and for my child? And I had to come to that to say, yes, I do. And one day that summer, I was laying in my hammock all day long. It was on a Saturday. And my daughter, she had really struggled since high school, and even in college, had gotten into drugs, and we had to pull her out of college for a year and put her in a rehab. And after that, she just kept fighting herself and God, and had a lot of anger. She was angry with us and angry with God. And one day I lay there and I read scripture all day long. I prayed all day long. And finally, at the end of that afternoon, I came to the point of saying, Lord, I really am going to give her to you, even if the worst would happen, even if she would take her life. I believe that you are so perfect and you are sovereign and you would bring good out of this. And most of all, I know that I would love you if that happened, and because I know you love me and I know you love her. And that was a real turning point for me, because after that, it wasn't that things were great. I mean, she really has given her life in a new way and is doing well right now. But it was just more the fact that it was, who do I believe God to be? Are you trustworthy? And at that point, I felt a freedom and a relief, not the feeling that I had to be the one to solve this or to be responsible for her life from then on. So it really transformed me, is what it did.
I was the daughter that you're praying for. When my husband and I first married 18 and a half years ago, we were not believers. We were living together. My parents didn't agree. And my mom had been praying my whole life that I would marry a godly man. And now I was living the life in sin that she was totally against. They would call and tell me I was headed for hell, you know, which was true. I didn't believe it at the time. But we married then without my parents knowing, which really hurt them. But all through that, my mother never stopped praying. She never stopped caring. She never stopped showing love. She never was overbearing with the way she did it to me. And as a result, my husband and I became believers 3 years, well, 2 years later at the same time. Our life has drastically turned around. My parents and I are best friends. My husband is best friends with his mother-in-law. And we renewed our wedding vows with my parents there. And we wrote a letter of gratefulness to them and thanking them for their love, their prayers, how they truly exemplified Christ in their lives, that we clearly saw that God truly turned us around. And I just want to tell you that for encouragement, that that's all it took was prayer. Nothing else. I was also the depressed daughter. I did hurt myself and did some pretty horrible things. God has clearly turned that around. I had parents who never stopped being by my side. There were a couple of times my husband wouldn't leave me by myself, even if it was just an hour in the house. My parents were at the door without even being asking. And I'm truly grateful, and God has drastically turned that around in my life, which I'm very grateful. I just wanted to give you a little encouragement that being on the other side of what you're praying for right now, that God is good. And it did take a while before my parents saw the fruits of all her prayers.
And what a reminder and encouragement that is to parents not to grow weary in well-doing, but to continue presenting your children to the Lord and trusting that God is at work even when you can't see, you don't know what He's doing, and that God is able, even when you're not physically there, to be working in those children's lives in accordance with the way you have presented them to Him. You're praying, you've dedicated them to Him, and you're saying, Lord, You have to do this. And then you got to trust that God is at work and that God is moving by His Spirit to accomplish His purposes in the lives of your children.
I have given my kids to the Lord, of course, when I was young. It's really times when you see them do things that make you feel bad. You've hurt, and it's hard to remember. But even if it happens after I die, God's able to do that. But I was just thinking of Mary when she gave Jesus up there and dedicated Him in the temple. She never really, until the resurrection, saw anything but the evil in the life of her son, the horrible things that were happening to him. And so there's a lesson in that, the fact that there is a sword in motherhood. And sometimes we forget that. Unless God calls any of us, none of us are saved. And He can do that, especially when we pray.
And I think that's an important reminder you just gave, that when you dedicate your children to the Lord, you are releasing or relinquishing the right to be the Holy Spirit in the lives of your children. Now, that doesn't mean you don't ever speak to them or you don't say things, but it means that you don't say everything that you want to say or that you might think, because you're willing to step back and stand back and let God say to them things that they will hear better from Him, perhaps, than they will hear from you. So part of dedicating them to the Lord is taking your hands off at points. Now, I'm not suggesting by this permissive parenting, just let God raise these kids. You need to be an active, involved part. But there comes a time when you got a 50-year-old, would probably be about that time, if not sooner, that you cannot be continually saying, you can't talk to that person like a 5-year-old. And even with your 5-year-old, it's got to be God who turns on the light. God who causes it to click, the grace of God that calls and draws whatever age they are. It does require faith when you dedicate your children to God. This is not just a warm, fuzzy, nice little ceremony. This is serious stuff. You are saying, I'm going to let God be God in this child's life, and I'm going to trust God to be at work even when I can't see and when there's not anything I can say to control the situation or to change it.
I felt like you needed to open the prayer room like you do at the Revive Our Heart conferences this morning. There were two things. One, when we had our first two children, we were not walking with the Lord or in church, and the Lord reminded me we had never dedicated them to the Lord and really release those older kids, and they're in their 30s now. The younger ones, we were walking with the Lord, and I remember very clearly when they came home to us at 5 and 7, the pastor and my husband lifting these children on their arm to the Lord and dedicating them. And so that was such an eye-opener to me this morning. And one of these older kids just told me very, very recently that they feel God's leading them to the mission field, probably out of country, with a bunch of my grandchildren. And I have just had the hardest time. I haven't said everything I was thinking, but it's just inside been awful. And when you were saying releasing the child to God for His purposes, that in releasing them, it relieves me of the fear of what may happen. And I honestly feel like the Lord was doing that in my heart this morning. And that was just such a revelation to me. That's why I've had so much trouble with this news, that They're asking us to pray for God's will to be done, and I've not been able to do that because I don't want them to go. I don't want those grandkids to go. I'm being honest. The second is ending up with verse 29, Luke 2:29. It says, "Now, Lord, thou dost let thy bondservant depart in peace according to your word." It's not just depart in death. It, for me, I think, is depart to live. To depart in peace, knowing that I'm not responsible for either of these kids at this point, except to pray for them and trust God, like Kim said. So thank you. Thank you.
And I'm glad you said that, because I had intended to say in that session, and it slipped my mind, that I'm sure we have many listeners who weren't even thinking about dedicating their children to the Lord, maybe had no idea of what that meant, or weren't in a church setting where that was a practice. And it's not ever too late to dedicate your children to the Lord. Now, they may be making choices that you cannot change or control or fix at this point, but you in your heart can still, I don't care if they're 5 or 15 or 25 or 55, you can come to that point of saying, "Lord, I present this child to you. I dedicate this child to you. I release this child to you," recognizing that this child is not mine. He or she is yours. They are on loan from you. I cannot hold on to them, whether that means they're going to the mission field or it means they're doing drugs. And in both cases, there's a release. You see your grown child involved in an illicit sexual relationship, and that breaks a mother's heart. Any of those, some are good and some are bad things, but they can break a mother's heart. And you have to come to the place where you take your hands off, where you say, "Lord, I give this child to you." It's not that you no longer love. It's not that you no longer care. You certainly keep praying and loving, and as God opens doors, speaking truth into their lives. But you're not doing it as an owner or as a controller or as one who can fix it. You're saying, "Lord, this child is yours. You deal with him or her." And I want to suggest you do that before you get in trouble with your kids or before your kids get in trouble. But then you've got to keep doing it and keep recognizing that this child is still given over to the Lord. Because isn't it easy as a mother to take the child back? To say, "I dedicated this child to the Lord, but now this child wants to go to, you know, across the world as a missionary and or something else. And now you want to take this child back." It is a mother's instinct to gather her children around and try and protect them from life. And that's part of a mother's heart. That's part of why Mary's heart as a mother is the sort of motherhood that that Dorothy talked about. And we'll talk about that later in this series, about the sword that pierces the soul of a mother. And how you have to keep presenting those children to the Lord when your instinct is to pull them back, to take back control. "Yeah, Lord, I gave that child to you when he was 6 weeks old, but now he's 16 and this looks a whole lot different." No, that dedication at 6 weeks is one that still is in effect today. It means you still must be presenting that child to the Lord, letting the Lord be God over that child. And that does release you from fear. It puts responsibility on you, but it also releases you from taking responsibility that's God's. You're not responsible for what only God can do in your child's life. And that means that you don't have to beat yourself up when your child makes wrong choices. Now, if your child is making wrong choices because they saw you make ungodly choices and you put those seeds in their life, then you need to repent. You need to seek forgiveness from the Lord, seek forgiveness from your children. But once you get past that, if you have obeyed the Lord to the level of your understanding or repented where you didn't, then you have got to leave with God the consequences and the outcome and trust God to move in your children's hearts. Listen, I want to tell you, you can be, relatively speaking, an awesome mother who loves God, loves your children, parents by the book, the Word of God, and still have children who choose to reject or resist the ways of God for a period of time, and maybe for a long period of time. And you cannot take responsibility on you that belongs to the Holy Spirit. That's part of dedicating and releasing your children to God. And at points that may mean that you see your children at a certain age in certain areas making choices
that you know are very unwise, and at points it may be that you don't pursue after them, that you don't speak. Now, I want to be careful about that because I think there are times when some parents ought to speak when they don't. I said to a friend this week, I'm amazed at how often kids got married out of the will of God and it ends up in disaster, and you ask them later, did your parents ever tell you they had reservations about this? Well, no. Well, you ask the parents, did you ever say, no, I didn't want to turn her off. I didn't want to, you know, there are some issues in life that if you see your child getting ready to do something that you know is going to have serious or dangerous consequences, you ask God for an opportunity to speak the truth. But you may need to speak it and then take your hands off and realize that you cannot keep them from marrying that person or from making that choice. That's when you get on your knees. You tell the Lord and you cry out to the Lord and you say, Lord, I have given this child to you. You pray with your husband together. I think there's power in unified, united prayer between couples for their children. Don't let this be just you. Ask your husband, can we pray together? Some parents I know fast and pray on a regular basis for their children, not because they're trying to control their children, but because it's an expression of their saying, Lord, these children belong to you. And so we are appealing to you to do what only you can do in the life of this child.
Something that helps women to be able to do that, because as you mentioned, the mother's heart, our heart is, I want to gather in my children. I want to protect them from the pain of the world and from the suffering and sorrow that maybe they're even bringing on themselves. I want to protect them. And to me, What I'm learning is the way that we're able to truly release them is by getting to know God better, to trusting Him more, to knowing who He is. And so I would urge the woman that's struggling with, she keeps taking her child back and taking her child back and trying to fix it, to really study who God is. Study how powerful He is, how faithful He is, that He is the deliverer, that He is the King of old, working out salvation in the earth, and just getting to know who He is and taking their focus off of all of the pain and difficulty that they're watching their child go through. Not that you become hardened to that at all. You pray for them more fervently, but your focus is on what God can do because of who He is and His heart, what His heart desires to do. He is the one who releases the captives. That is His desire. And knowing that, He desires to see your child brought to freedom from bondage in an even deeper and greater way than you do. And His pain and suffering really for them, watching them walk through the consequences of their wrong choices, that pain really is deeper even than the mother's pain.
And that's really what Calvary's about.
Exactly.
That's what the cross is about. That is God taking on Himself the pain that you feel as a mother for the consequences of sin in your children's lives, and God taking on your pain as a mother and giving you the grace to deal with that pain. Anyone else?
I just want to take just a minute to give praise to God. For long story with my son, a lot of mess in my son's life. But I'm here to say that just a month or two ago, he stood in front of his church and dedicated his baby to the Lord. I felt like that was full circle, that he had gone from being so rebellious to coming to this place of being willing to say to God, here's my baby. I want to raise her for you. And that was just glorious for me. Much more so for him than for him even, because I could see God's, you know, behind the scenes, the way he had worked that all out. So I just want to testify to God's faithfulness in bringing my son full circle.
When later, after we were walking with the Lord, God put it on our hearts to adopt children. And our birth kids were 12 and 14 when we started the process. And all we knew was that God would show us who they were. And we didn't know how many, what color, what physical condition, anything. And you go into a social worker with that kind of, you know, list. And it's really amazing to me they even let us continue the process to simply say that God will show us who they are. And it took a year and a half. And one day I went in and these two little pictures, just little wallet-sized pictures, were clipped on a folder that I saw upside down. And instantly tears popped in my eyes and I said, it's my kids. And the social worker said, no, 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 Maria, this family's adopting these children. They've been in this foster home 2 years. This is just their final home study I have to do. And I just said, I don't care what you say. Those are my children. This was in March. And I said, do you have any extra pictures? They always do. And I took them home and just tried to casually lay them on the counter like I had numerous times over this period of time to show to my husband. He took one look at those pictures and said, oh, it's our kids. Same thing I had said. And I said, well, the social worker says this other family's going to adopt them, but we've got to pray now. And we and everyone we knew started praying for those children. In May, the end of May, the social worker called me and said, do you want to come meet your children tomorrow? And she said that a relative of the foster family had gone in to her and said, there are things going on in that home that ought not to be going on. And in a week's time, my kids were home. And it's been almost 20 years now.
Wow.
Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth has been talking with some moms about the emotional process of raising children and releasing them into God's hands. I hope the examples we heard today are helpful to you. We're so thankful Revive Our Hearts is affecting women like these. But Nancy, I'm also excited to think about the next generation being influenced by these moms.
Oh, Leslie, it really does give me such joy to think of the potential of the baton of faith being passed on to the next generation. And this is not just for those who have children. It's a huge responsibility that all of us as women of God have for those who are coming behind us. As you know, there's a ton of confusion in our culture over what it even means to be a woman. I think this is a time when all of us, younger and older, need to look to the pages of Scripture to gain our understanding of femininity. That's why I'm so excited about one of the really important outreaches of Revive Our Hearts called LiesYoungWomenBelieve.com. Now, without a lot of fanfare, that daily blog has been steadily gaining a large, committed following over the past several years. Young women and teens go to that blog and they're pouring out their hearts. They're getting really honest about the issues that they're facing. And I'm so thankful for our team of bloggers who provide thought-provoking, biblical content packaged in a way that young women can grasp. Day after day, our team is responding to some really tough situations that these readers are facing. And in response, they're offering truth that God is using to set these younger women free. When you see the kind of growth we've seen on that blog, you have to say, it looks like God is up to something. Well, I believe He is. We want to join Him and see that movement among young women accelerate. In fact, in February, we'll be releasing a newly revised version of the book, Lies Young Women Believe. But we can't pursue these goals in publishing and resources and the web by ourselves. We need your help as we seek to expand the ministry of Revive Our Hearts to teens and young women. Here's how you can help this month. Some friends of the ministry are doubling every gift given during the month of December up to a special challenge amount of $800,000. Meeting that challenge will go a long way in helping us keep our current outreaches thriving in the year ahead. And as we are able to not only meet that goal, but surpass it, it's going to help us expand outreaches such as the one to young women on that block. So if you have a heart to see women of every age, younger women, older women, women in different parts of the world, experience freedom, fullness, and fruitfulness in Christ, would you pray about helping us to meet this matching challenge? Every gift, whether it's small or large, will help us get to that goal. And remember, your gift this month will be doubled, dollar for dollar, up to that challenge amount. You can send your gift by calling us at 1-800-569-5959.
Again, that's 1-800-569-5959. Or you can visit us online at reviveourhearts.com to make your donation there.
Thanks, Nancy. Have you ever known someone who knew just what to say to make you feel better when you were emotionally low? The gift of consolation is rare. Tomorrow, we'll talk about the greatest act of consolation ever. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wagglemuth wants to walk with you in God's Word. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.